Okay, so we are continuing with Inshmona Esrei. We are starting with the bracha to Tekab B'Shofar, where we left off. So this bracha begins the second part of the middle brachos, the brachos that focus on the future geula. This bracha corresponds to the bracha of Atachonin Lodom Das. Just as we've asked Hashem to grant us deya individually, we ask him in this tefillah to bring the geula, at which time mala haaretz deya es Hashem. The request to return to Eretz Yisrael is appropriately placed in the 10th bracha because the unique nature of the land is bound to this number. The Rambam writes, "The holiness of Eretz Yisrael surpasses that of all other places in the world, and in Eretz Yisrael itself there are 10 levels of kedusha." Additionally, the 10th letter of the Aleph Beis is the letter Yud, the smallest letter, and consists of a single component. Thus, the tiny yud symbolizes humility, the essential component of national unity. When we allow ourselves to be influenced by the special tenfold kedusha of the land, we become humbled by Hashem's presence, which then fuses us into indivisible solidarity. The Siddur Yavetz quotes the Yesod Shorash Vavoda that a person should recite this bracha brokenheartedly, begging Hashem to send Mashiach to redeem us and all our scattered brethren speedily in our times. So the bracha opens Tka B'Shofar Gadol Cheruseinu. This is based on the pasuk of Ahaya Bayomahu Yitaka B'Shofar Gadol. This bracha refers to the onset of the Geula, which will begin with Hashem making us free from the dependency on any other nation. What is the Shofar Gadol? Pirkei Rebbe Elazar explains that the ram that Avraham sacrificed in the place of Yitzchak had two horns that were to play historic roles in our history. The smaller left horn was sounded at Har Sinai, and the larger right one will be sounded by Hashem when the time comes to redeem us. Nothing stirs the soul as powerfully as the shofar's blast. The Rambam explains that the shofar cries out figuratively, Uri Yishenu Mishinaschem, awake sleepers from your sleep, arouse yourselves, slumberers, from your slumber. And Shimon Schwab says, Shofar Gadol could be a metaphor for the time in world history when, as if by loud proclamation, there will be a worldwide universal recognition of Hashem. And this will be a signal for our freedom, L'cheruseinu, freedom from future dependency on any nation of the world. And this will begin when the world's rulers, the presidents, prime ministers, and kings finally recognize that Hashem hu Elohim. Rav Tzadok HaKohen in Resisi Laila says, the Shofar Gadol will be an accumulation of all the cries throughout our exiles, the cries of those who had to suffer at the hands of their tormentors, the cries of those who watched their children, siblings, and parents die at the hands of the inquisitors, the crusaders, the Nazis, and most recently, Arab terrorists, and the cries of the broken mothers and fathers and orphan children. It's not just that the cries will signal Hashem to sound the Shofar. Rather, these cries will form together to be that sound. We may be forced to endure unbearable suffering, physical pain, and emotional grief, but our cries are heard and put aside for safekeeping like cherished mementos. V'saneis l'kabeis gul yoseinu. There are two steps towards complete redemption, because there are two types of exiled Jews. For some Jews, the signal received from the initial blast will be sufficient to arouse them, and they will return immediately. The Meshech Chachma observes that these Jews always feel like strangers in the lands of exile, never fully adapting to their host countries. They yearn for opportunity to return home. Other Jews, however, will not be moved until they see a clear signal, one that will make a powerful visual impact. The Meshech Chachma describes this group, the majority of whom are very comfortable in exile and call it home. Prosperity has dulled their senses, so they are oblivious to the shofar sounds, which call them homeward. For them, we ask Hashem to display the banner, to display unmistakable visual evidence. The Munkacher Rebbe of Chaim Elazar Shapiro translates the word nes as miracle, and explained that the real ingathering of the gullahs cannot take place through conventional, political, or military means. Klal Yisrael will return permanently to its land only through overt divine action. And Rav Shimon Schwab says that we ask here that the nations of the world shall see it by signal that it's Hashem who's gathering our exile together from all parts of the world. V'kabetzeinu yachad me'ar b'kanfos ha'aretz. During the Golos, Klal Yisrael split not only physically, geographically, but also ideologically. One group does not see eye to eye with the other. This disparity exists not only in that the non-religious segment of our nation who does not understand those who are religious, but even the people who do keep Torah and mitzvos are divided and subdivided many times among themselves. Therefore, Rabbi Victor Miller says, it would be insufficient for Hashem to simply gather us physically. We must also be yachad, together, spiritually and ideologically, to prevent the geula from disintegrating because of discord, just as the current gullus was caused by disunity and hatred. Despite our different minhagim and attitudes which developed in the various places of exile, and despite our diverse features and languages which evolved throughout the four corners of the globe, we daven that Hashem will help us overcome these differences so that we can rebuild a unified Jewish nation. Konfos, Rav Shimon Schwab just mentions that it's noteworthy that we use the word konfos, wings, to connote all parts of the world. And he says this is based on Miknaf Ha'aretz Miros Shemanu Tzvila Tzadik, that from the wings of the earth we have heard songs, beauty belongs to the Tzadik. And he explains this means that when the time comes, not only the Jewish people, but the whole world will recognize Hashem, and will have lifted itself to a higher level. The earth will have sprouted wings. The earth in every direction will experience an uplifting of the spirit. People will understand that they have to do a change in their lives. There will be a moral uplifting in the world. So we ask Hashem to gather us together and unite us from all parts of this newly uplifted world. And the bracha ends, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekabitz Nidchem O Yisrael. Rav Avraham Chaim Foyer says the word Nidach means one who is lost. And this bracha says that even the most estranged Jew in the most remote corner of the globe will be summoned homeward. Even those who don't know they are Jewish will stir. Rav Shimon Schwab tells us Nidche means pushed out, one who is outside of a particular group of circles called Nidach. And this meaning is very closely connected with the beginning of the bracha of Tikkah B'Shofar Gadol, which we said it's taken from the pasuk V'haya b'yomahu yitaka b'shofar gadol uvo ha'ovdim be'eretz Ashur v'anidachem be'eretz Mitzrayim. And this pasuk refers to the gathering of all Bnei Israel from the four corners of the earth. And the names Ashur and Mitzrayim are used here in figurative sense, describing the two factors that were the causes of the great losses that Klal Yisrael suffered during the Golus history. Ashur means happiness. And in fact, the Jews who were exiled into Assyria by Sancheriv were not enslaved or persecuted. On the contrary, they were promised and did enjoy a very good life. But Mitzrayim, from the words Rutsar, means a land of sorrows, where the Jews did suffer in their exile. So Asher represents those lands in the Golos where the Jewish people had a happy and prosperous life. However, it was this prosperity that caused them to assimilate and become lost. As far as Klal Yisrael is concerned, they became Oivdim Beretz Asher, lost because of the good life and a happy country. Mitzrayim represents those lands in the Golos where the Jewish people suffered greatly. And because of their suffering, many of them were turned off and gave up their religion. This was done either for philosophical reasons, because they cannot understand why Hashem would not help them, or simply to survive physically or economically. The people in this group became Nidach and Beretz Mitzrayim. They were pushed away because of their suffering. It is to these two groups that are outside of the fold, regardless of whether they're Ovdim or Nidachim, that Hashem will bring back. And we have such emuna that this will take place that we end this tefillah in the present tense as if we've already experienced the ingathering of the exiles. And just to close with this on this bracha, Rav Levi Yitzchak Mibarditchev used to daven to Hashem and say, Heilige Bashefer, Holy Creator, for the last 2,000 years we have been blowing the shofar you asked us to blow. We do not blow it once, we blow it 100 times, each day of Rosh Hashanah for a total of 200 kolos. Men, women, and children have sacrificed throughout the generations to ensure that they fulfill your commandment. But we have also sincerely davened for the last 2,000 years, the words of Tikkah B'Shofar Gadol Cheruseinu. We're not asking for much. We have all davened 3 times a day. Tens of millions of times we have asked. All we want for you is to blow the Shofar Gadol 1 time. Just 1 time. And now we'll go into the next bracha, Shiva Shofteinu. So the Navi tells us, Es hanachlos lo chizaktem, ves hacholo lo refisem, v'la nishberes, lo chavashtem, ves hanidachas lo hashevosem, ves hovedes lo vikashtem. The weak ones you did not strengthen, the sick you did not heal, the broken ones you did not bind up, those which were outside the flock you did not return, and those which were lost you did not seek. And when the leaders of Klal Yisrael did not perform their duties as they required to do, and the Jewish people remained nidachim and ovdim, so we ask Hashem to bring back the leaders who did lead Klal Yisrael on the right path, as He promised, v'ashiva shoftayich v'arishona v'yotzayich kevatchila. And this is a tefillah for communal tshuva, and it corresponds to the brach of Hashiveinu Avinu, which is a tefillah for the individual's tshuva. The first thing that will occur after the signal is given for our return to Eretz Yisrael is there will be a mass tshuva movement. And therefore we now ask Hashem for proper leadership, who can lead us in this general tshuva movement. This movement would include every Jew from all different strata of the people, regardless of whether they are nidachas, nishberes, chola, nachlos, or even ovedas. And Rav Yitzchak Kirzner says the relationship this bracha has with the previous tekabah shofar is that once we're ready to live in Hashem's home, we will also be ready for the restoration of His justice. And Rav Mordechai Potash brings the Gemara, which teaches us that following the ingathering of the galus, we will appoint judges to punish the wicked. And Rav Avraham Chaim Feuer says we daven for integrity and justice in the 11th bracha, because the number 11 is closely identified with the themes of honesty and decency. The Gemara teaches us that although there are 613 mitzvahs that were given at Sinai, the leaders of every generation have the right to place special emphasis on certain commands according to the needs of their times. David HaMelech stressed 11 principles of conduct bein adam l'chaveru. All 11 principles are examples of lifnim mishuras hadin. Some of them are dover emes bovavo, speaks truth from his heart, lo rogal al lashono, who has no slander on his tongue, kaspol lo nosan b'neshech, his money he does not lend with interest, and the 11th one is v'shochad al naki lo lokach, a bribe against the innocent he does not take. And the Gemara explains this phrase describes a judge who is scrupulous in avoiding the slightest trace of what might be construed as a bribe. And he brings a story from the Gemara with Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi, who employed a sharecropper who brought him a basket of fruits every Friday as payment. Once the sharecropper brought the fruits on a Thursday, prompting Rabbi Shmuel to question the early payment. And the sharecropper explained he had to appear before Rabbi Shmuel's court that very day anyway, and therefore brought the basket with him. And Rabbi Shmuel refused to accept the fruits, even though they were his. He believed that the small amount of gratitude he would feel from receiving his payment the day early might slightly influence him in favor of the sharecropper, and as such would constitute bribery. The 11th brach of Shemoneh Esrei reminds us to daven for the restoration of the judges who embody all 11 fundamentals of honesty outlined by David HaMelech. The Vilna Gaon writes that the essence of the written law is Chamishei Chumshei Torah, while the essence of the oral law is Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, which is a total of 11 works, which a Talmud Chacham must master before he can be appointed a judge. And the bracha opens, Hashiva Shofteinu Kvar Rishonu Yatzeinu Kvatchila. The simple explanation here is that for matters of civil law, Choshen Mishpat, which involve Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, we will need proper Shoftim. And for matters involving Bein Adam L'Makom, which involve questions of Chovas HaLevavos, and how we are to serve Hashem, we will need Yoatzim advisors. Rav Avraham Chaim Feuer says, one should be aware that judgment is not confined to the courtroom, but is a process that occurs continually within the human heart. The Gemara tells us, Rabbi Yosef Glili taught, righteous people are controlled by the judgment of their Yetzer Tov, while the wicked are controlled by the judgment of their Yetzer Hara. Ordinary, ambivalent people are controlled by the judgment of both. In the course of normal human existence, we are constantly confronted with sets of options that demand decisions based on our sound judgment and solid values. The Kotzker Rebbe explains the pasuk of Shoftim v'Shotrim Titein Lecha B'chol Sharecha as being directed also to each individual person. It instructs, be a judge over yourself and enforce the values you have accepted as true and binding. Always be completely honest with yourself and accept no bribes to be lenient in self-evaluation. In the initial embryonic stage of human development, the unborn child is in its mother's womb is under the exclusive influence of the angelic spiritual forces which inculcate it with the Yetzer Tov. The Yetzer Hara sets in only after the child's birth, and therefore we daven Hashiva Shofteinu Kvar Rishona, as it was in the embryonic stage, when only the Yetzer Tov affected our judgment, and we were all righteous. Help us today to make proper decisions and judgments. V'hasim imenu yogon v'anocha. At the time of the Geula, grief and sighing will flee before the joy of the redemption. The term yogon means grief that one carries inside of him, And anocha is the loud sighing, like oi, or moaning, when the grief cannot be contained any longer. The reason we have yago and vanocha is because we do not have proper leadership. There is no one who can issue a decree of psak din, which would be universally accepted. So we ask Hashem to return our leaders and those authentic voices who will bring an end to our grief. Rav Avraham Chaim Feuer says, this phraseology is unique to this bracha. Despite our suffering, we do not ask Hashem to heal us, redeem us, or forgive us in order to remove our sorrow and groan. This teaches us that injustice crushes the human spirit in a way that no other misfortune does. Nothing is more frustrating than to be the victim of a crime or violence and have no recourse. Injustice drives away all joy. Umlochaleinu ata levadcha b'chesed v'rachamim. Rav Avraham Chaim Feuer writes, mortal judges are often compelled to issue overly harsh verdicts as a warning to intimidate lawbreakers. Strictness and severity are often signs of insecurity because the judge fears that leniency and compassion will be misconstrued as a weakness and doubt. These concerns do not apply to Hashem. He can judge with kindness and compassion without undermining his universal authority in any way. Rav Shimon Schwab says, we already mentioned back in the Bracha Mechal Kol Chayim, that chesed refers to the kindness of Hashem in this world, and berachim and rabim refers to the world of tchias ameisim. And similarly, in this bracha too, which refers to the world of the geula, we ask Hashem to rule over us bechesed in this world, and later berachimim in the world of tchias ameisim. V'tzadikenu b'mishpat, tzedek means a mitigated form of justice, and mishpat is a strict justice, and we ask Hashem here to judge us with charity. Rav Avraham Chaim Feuer says, judgment is an action that takes place constantly in our own hearts and minds. Whenever we observe our fellow men and women, we are evaluating and judging their actions. Accordingly, the Torah writes, "V'tzedek tishpot amisecha." This obligates us to be dan l'kav schus, to give someone the benefit of the doubt, when we see him performing an action that could be interpreted unfavorably. If we commit ourselves to judging others favorably, surely all others, both Hashem and man, will reciprocate and justify us through judgment. And the bracha closes, Baruch Atah Hashem, Melech Ohev, Tzedakah U'Mishpat. Rav Avraham Chaim Feuer asks, first, nowhere else in Shemoneh Esrei do we conclude a bracha with the word Melech. And second, nowhere else does it say Ohev. We don't say he loves to cure, or loves to forgive, or loves to redeem. But here we say he loves righteousness and judgment. And the Medrash Shachar Tov says that a ruler who wields great power often considers himself to be above the law and tends to abuse his power for his own advantages. Not so with Hashem. He is a melech who really loves justice and uses his divine power to enforce the strict letter of the law for everyone. Rav Shimon Schwab says, Hashem loves both forms of justice, but he prefers to apply tzedakah whenever it is possible over mishpat alone. However, if this is our conception of heavenly judgment, we may become complacent in our efforts to do tshuva, always relying on the tzedakah of Hashem. And it is for this reason that during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, we end this bracha with Hamelach HaMishpat, because during this period, we apply a much stricter standard of mishpat to ourselves if we are to expect the rachamim of Hashem. And to close with a story in the homework, so I had seen the story, and I'm not sure, maybe I've said it once before, there was a girl who was trying to go to seminary, and her father got into some issues with the seminary, and the seminary refused to accept her. And once that happened, that was the beginning of her downfall, as no other seminary would therefore take her, because, you know, if she couldn't get into the one she wanted, there was obviously an issue. And being all down about it, her father took her to a Rav, and the Rav told her, don't worry about seminary, just daven for the type of husband that you want, and everything will be fine. And she always wanted a boy who would be in learning, possibly become a Rav, and she started to daven for it. And sure enough, came the time of Shidduchim, and she would get no calls as, who wants a girl who didn't go to seminary? Which, by the way, just to put out there, I took a girl who didn't go to seminary. But, and I got a very good one for that price too. But, so the girl, you know, being all depressed, so the father now went and said, you know what, I have to take this in my own hands. And he visited the local yeshiva. And he watched the boys and saw a boy that he decided, this is the boy I want for my son-in-law. And he went over to the boy, and the boy, he started to tell him about his daughter. He mentioned she didn't go to seminary. And the boy said, oh, I'm busy right now with other excuses. And the father said, no, let me tell you a story. And the father explained why she didn't go to seminary, and the fact that they went to this Rav, and the fact that she's been davening since that day for the Ben Torah that she wants. And the boy stopped for a moment and said, when was this? And he mentioned this took place 4 years ago. And he said, wow, 4 years ago I was a very weak bacher in the yeshiva and was struggling tremendously. And something changed in me that I never had the answer to. And, he believed, therefore, it was the tefillos of this girl. And they did go out and eventually did get married. So we see that if we use our tefillah and we daven for the needs of the individual, daven for the needs of the klal, especially after these incidents that took place last week, especially the one in Eretz Yisrael, if we daven, our tefillahs, can make changes, and we can be zochet to have the tekabe shofar gadol and the shiva shofteinu happen b'mehera b'yameinu speedily and quickly, and the homework obviously is at least once during the Shemona Esrei over the week, to think about a little about these two brachos that we've discussed today.